Chapter 1. Two types of people exist in this world. Those who are obsessed with the Kennedys and those who aren't. My big Italian family from the Bronx sat squarely in the latter camp. My dad, a staunch Republican, had no patience for the family synonymous with the Democratic Party, and my mom was too busy to care about politics on any side of the aisle at all. Obviously, I understood why it created a major stir when John F. Kennedy Jr. first started calling the offices of the Manhattan public relations firm where I worked, PR New York. But it didn't give me the same thrill as it did Liz, the office manager, and Tricia, the receptionist, who would giggle and exchange meaningful glances whenever he was on the line. To me, John was just a political type. I would have been more interested in meeting his celebrity girlfriend, Daryl Hannah. It was funny to see Liz and Tricia get excited about anything. The two pretty hipsters shared a blasé attitude toward most aspects of life, including work. But I saw a hint of triumph on the face of whoever got to shout, "John's on the phone!" to Michael Berman, co-founder of the firm and the man who gave me the best job I'd ever had. Michael started PR New York after convincing his partner, Will Steer, whom he met while both were at the big international PR firm Burson Marsteller, to take a chunk of Burson's business and go out on their own. During my interview in the office, decorated with the brand of sleek minimalism that makes you feel fat and poor, I thought, I'm definitely not sophisticated enough for this. But Michael was able to get past my Outerboro accent and my outfit, a red pleated skirt and black and white polka dot blouse that made me look as if someone threw me into a sales rack at Strawberry, spun me around, and set me loose. Working at PR New York was so different from my last job as a junior-level publicist at a midtown PR company that mainly worked with book publishers, where our offices were small, dingy, and the big perk was getting to charge $10 a week at the local deli. Will and Michael, meanwhile, were young, rich, and good-looking. Michael, in his jeans, nice shirts, and ever-present tan, ate at Nobu, ran with a celebrity crowd, and dated a well-known interior decorator. Michael could talk to anyone about anything, and he drove the business aspect of PR New York because he was great at strategy. I worked harder than anyone else in the office to prove to him that I belonged there, that he hadn't made a mistake in taking a chance on me. If Will needed me to run an errand, I was on it. When Michael told me to revise a press release 20 times, I did it without attitude. So when JFK Jr. called the office, to me it was no different from Christopher Reeve or any other celebrity calling for Michael. Other than enjoying watching Liz and Tricia get silly at the sound of his voice, I didn't give him much thought until the day he unexpectedly arrived at PR New York. Without knowing who was waiting, I buzzed him in, as I always did when someone rang the bell, and punched in the code to open the door. But as I tugged on the handle, he was pulling on the other side so neither of us could open it. We both released the door, and I re-entered the code, then stood back and waited for the person to open the door. Nothing. Oh, God, I thought. This isn't that complicated. I punched in the code one more time and pulled, just as he decided to pull yet again. You have to let go of the knob, I said, getting more frustrated. Sorry, came the muted reply. Once again, I entered the code and was finally able to open the door, discovering to my horror that I had just snapped at John F. Kennedy Jr. Hi, he said casually. Hi. He was much better looking in person than in any photograph of him I'd ever seen, and he didn't exactly photograph poorly. Wearing a court jester-type knit hat, John was accompanied by a large, drooling German shepherd that looked sad and not too friendly. "Is Michael here?" John asked. Although I felt like dying, I pulled myself together and walked John inside. The previous summer, John had left the assistant district attorney position he'd held for 4 years, and he first started coming into the PR New York office about once a week, and then every other day, sometimes more. By the spring of 1994, it was as if he and his slightly demented rescue dog, Sam, worked at PR New York. Only none of the staff, except for Michael, knew what he was doing there. Even Will had no idea. But you didn't ask Michael anything, even if you co-owned the company. Discretion was his stock in trade. Will was a dyed-in-the-wool Republican raised in the wealthy Connecticut town of Darien, and every day he wore a perfect suit and a different Hermes tie, which stood out against the low-key vibe in the office. One of my first days on the job, I asked him if he had an important client meeting. He looked at me as if he didn't understand the question, as if that were the only proper way to dress. Will seemed to feel that it was his political duty to get a rise out of John, and he loved to greet John with a condescending, "Hey, Junior," anytime he walked in the door. John refused to take the bait and instead nodded hello and headed into the conference room with Michael. Because Michael and John were both on the board of